Hey, Leading Learning listener, if you represent a membership organization looking for ways to expand your online course catalog rapidly with high-quality content, we have good news.
At leadinglearning.com/AMA, you can find out how to make online training from the American Management Association available to your learners.
Through a partnership between AMA and Tagoras, the parent company of Leading Learning, you can give your learners access to more than 70 e-learning modules covering essential business topics ranging from leading and innovating to managing projects effectively to working in hybrid teams.
For details on how to grow your catalog with courses from a true global leader in management training, visit leadinglearning.com/AMA.
If you're a leader or an aspiring leader in the business of lifelong learning, you're in the right place. I'm Salisa Steele.
And I'm Jeff Cobb, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast.
So Jeff, let's start with first things first. Let's talk a little bit about the reasons for starting this podcast.
Well, I was thinking the main reason is because we just don't have enough to do, really. So we needed to add something else to our plate.
I agree wholeheartedly.
But seriously, though, you know, we're obviously deeply immersed in this whole market for lifelong learning. And it's just become more and more clear in the past few years that the level of change out there is just, it's so fast, it's so dramatic. The whole market for lifelong learning, continuing education, professional development, it's changing day by day, it seems like. And, you know, it seems like we just really need some new resources out there for people who are trying to succeed in that market.
Well, yeah, and to unpack some of those changes a little bit more, I mean, you know, you have the changes that are going on with technology. You also have things like the fact that we're living longer, and couple that with the fact that people are changing jobs and professions more often.
We got a global marketplace. I mean, people all over the world are hungry for lifelong learning at this point.
So, yeah, you put all those things together. You know, we're living longer, we're changing jobs more often, we need to keep learning, and then the organizations that are in that business of lifelong learning and professional development and continuing education, I mean, there's a real, like you're saying, growing demand at the global level because thanks to technology, you can serve really learners in any corner of the world. So there's a lot of opportunity, but we also know there's a lot of challenge.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we offer a lot of resources already. We do our webinars, we blog, we publish reports, we have events. So, you know, we have a lot of different things going on, but you know, we felt like this as a weekly resource for folks to be able to listen into. You know, if that sounds good to you as somebody who has responsibility for a lifelong learning business, a continuing education business, then this may be just the thing for you. So the kind of thing you can listen to in the car, you can listen to when you're working out. So it's just another medium, another channel for providing some support out to the folks that are so deeply involved in this market. So, you know, what to expect then out of this? If you're going to dial in every week, get us on your iPhone or device of choice, what can people expect here, do you think?
Well, I think basically we'll be offering perspectives on the lifelong learning market, and that those will be perspectives of our own. Like you were saying earlier, we've both been working in this space of education and technology and enhanced or enabled learning and the association world for a long time. So we'll be offering our own perspectives based on our experience, based on the research that we do here, based on our work with clients. And then we're also going to be providing perspectives from other folks as well.
Yeah, and I'm excited to be talking to some other people. I mean, like you said, we've been doing this a long time. Sometimes I'm amazed at exactly how long it has been and how much change there has been. But I don't think people want to hear just from us every week. So
I don't want to hear just from us every week.
Yeah, I don't want to have to talk this much every week. So we do have quite a few other people lined up already that we've interviewed, and of course we'll be doing more of that over time. I know, for example, you did an interview already with Wes Trokel, right?
That's right. It was a great conversation. Wes is, as you'll hear, he's a sort of the know-it-all when it comes to data, association data, and how to make effective use of that. And that's you know, something that we know a lot of organizations are struggling with. What data are you collecting? What data can you be collecting? And how can you use that in a meaningful way to make decisions about what learning you offer, whether that's introducing new products, whether it's refining what you already have out there.
Yeah, data is just an incredibly important topic now, and I particularly like that you describe Wes as a know-it-all. I think he'll appreciate that.
And I know you interviewed Seth Kahn.
I did, and Seth, you know, we're living in a world where you have to innovate if you want to stay ahead of the curve and stay successful as a business. And really, there's nobody, for my money, who understands innovation and change in the way that Seth does. And he's also really focused in on the association sector. He's trying to do some things to really transform that sector. That's obviously where we do a huge amount of our work. So it's very exciting to talk to him. And related to that, you know, it's been really exciting to talk to some CEOs in the association sector. We wanted to make a real effort to go out to people who are leading organizations that are responsible for so much of the lifelong learning that goes on out there. So far, I've had the opportunity to talk with Rick Grimm, who's the CEO of NIGP, which is the, you know, the national organization for people in governmental procurement, and also with Cheryl Ronk, who is the CEO of the Michigan Society of Association Executives. And Cheryl is a real mover and shaker among the state society leaders. She just has a fantastic perspective. And in fact, I think she's probably going to be the first interview that that we put out there in the coming weeks.
And I know that when we're talking and when we're either offering our own perspectives or talking with others, you know, one thing that we're going to emphasize is really trying to provide some practical tips and advice and making sure that that when you listen to an episode of the podcast, you walk away with maybe a new idea, something to get you thinking about what you could be doing at your own organization.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we don't want to just be, you know, spouting off back and forth episode to episode and not providing any real practical value. So that's going to be core to what we do. And really, you know, we're launching this for the reasons that we just talked about. But it's also it's a lead up to our upcoming Leading Learning Symposium. That's kind of what's getting this out of the gate and prompting us to action right now. But I mean, it's going to go well beyond that. We plan to continue this, you know, for the foreseeable future, until we just run out of things to talk about, which, you know, maybe the day that both of us drop dead, who knows. But, you know, I mentioned the symposium, because, you know, I want people to know about it. If you don't know about the Leading Learning Symposium, definitely go check that out. You can find out more at leadinglearning.tagoras.com. But mostly I mentioned it here because underlying that event, we have three major themes that we're looking at there, and we also have some threads that are sort of running through those themes, and we thought that might be a great place to start with this initial episode, to kind of talk through the major themes, talk through those threads along the way, try to give hopefully some helpful perspectives on them for people who are listening, and those really will inform what we do with the podcast going forward, so it's a good launching place.
And we'll keep you in suspense for just another minute about what those themes and threads are, because I also just want to mention that Seth Kahn and Wes Chokol, who we mentioned earlier, are going to be part of the faculty at that Leading Learning Symposium in October in Baltimore.
There is a reason we interviewed them, yes, aside from their general greatness.
But. Yeah. In terms of the themes of the symposium, we're talking about reach, revenue, and impact. So those are the three themes for us. We believe all of them are important when you think about a learning business. I mean, you need reach, because you need to be making sure that you're connecting with learners. You know, if you aren't actually putting anything out there, you could have a great product, but nobody knows about it. I mean, you need that reach to make sure that folks are aware of what you're offering. Most organizations need revenue. They need something to support the ongoing development of the education business. And then you also need impact. You want to make sure that the learning that you're putting out there is actually moving the dial for the individual learner, maybe even for the field or industry that you serve. And so really you need all three of these, because, you know, any one or any two without the third really doesn't make for a sustainable education business, we believe.
Yeah, and I mean, and we focus on all three of those in our work. I can say the two that I'm kind of most fascinated with right now are the reach and the impact side of the equation. Revenue, in some ways, to me seems obvious. You know, you want to get out there and make money. You want to have a positive net revenue. So, like you said, Salisa, you can invest that back into the business. But I think, you know, organizations right now, they're struggling with reach. How do they actually connect with learners? And probably more importantly, though this doesn't maybe get thought about to the degree that it should, the right learners. And I actually recorded a video this morning that we're putting in our stream of conference series and talking about the concept of market. You know, and most organizations think of their market, and this is the correct way to think of it, as you know, the potential, anybody who has the potential really to be interested in what they're doing and possibly do some business with them at some point in time. That's your broader market. But really, you know, when you're thinking about reach, what you most want to be concerned with most of the time is a subset of that market, which we talk about as your audience. And we're not the only people who talk about this as audience, but it's the idea that, you know, within your broader market, there's a much more narrow group that you really need to be able to identify, engage with consistently over time, demonstrate your value to, and then, you know, have them there and ready for the conversion that you ultimately need to make them into customers. So really thinking about reach is not just quantity, but quality. And that's something I want to continue to dig into in the podcast as it rolls along. And then impact. And personally, I think there's, you know, nothing more important for people who are leading learning and education businesses to be thinking about right now than impact, because we all know that the choices that learners now have available to them are just staggering. And you're competing with those choices. You're probably competing, you know, with other providers in your marketplace. But also, you know, your learners can go off to Khan Academy, or they can go off to Coursera, or, you know, Lynda.com, whatever the case might be. So I think increasingly, if you're leading a learning business, your business has to be able to show that it's moving the dial for the individual learner, for the employers that those learners are working for. And I think if you're a trade or professional association, like you were saying, Salisa, ideally, you want to be able to show that you're having that impact across the profession or the industry that you're serving. So out of reach, revenue, and impact, you know, I'm most jazzed up, I guess, about the reach and the impact side of things. So, you know, obviously, revenue is always good.
Well, I think it's just that revenue gets so much attention anyway. That's true. It almost...
Everybody's got their non-dues revenue potion or whatever the case might be.
Yeah. And I think just to pick up on what you were saying, Jeff, about reach and impact, you know, even in what you were talking about there, there's, again, the interplay of those, because part of how you're going to have the most impact is if you are reaching those right learners, because, you know, learning is that two-way street. You need the right learners, the right audience to be connecting with you around that learning offering, because they're going to be the ones that are willing to go out there and put that learning into practice and to have, you know, make sure that that learning does have the impact that you want.
So maybe then let's talk a little bit about, you know, it's all fine and well to say this is what we want to achieve, you know, reach, revenue, impact. Great. We all want to get there. But you obviously have to have a method to how you're going to get there, an approach to how you're going to get there. And we've kind of boiled this down to kind of four what we call threads that tend to run through our work, that are going to run through this symposium, that are going to run through this podcast and kind of help us to, you know, I guess, categorize things, but not in silos. I mean, these all weave together. That's why we use the metaphor of threads. All of these weave together to create success. So drum roll, what are these four threads of which we speak?
Strategy, learning, marketing, and technology.
There you have it. So master those four things and you're all set to go, and we can sign off at that
That's
point,
right.
I think. let's look at each of them individually a little bit.
Yeah, and the first thing I'll say, as you know, before we kind of dig into them, is that, as you were saying, Jeff, I mean, we use the analogy of threads because we don't believe any one of these in isolation is particularly important, or if you focus on it too much, you're going to get your out of whack and not have the correct perspective. And so really kind of one way to think about that overall context is that, you know, you need to be thinking about all four of these threads from a leadership perspective. I mean, that you need to be thinking about how to lead and make the appropriate decisions. But, you know, for us, those four things, strategy, learning, marketing, and technology, really kind of feed into the bigger themes of the reach, revenue, and impact. I mean, you need to have a strategy that really focuses on the education business specifically. I mean, I think we know that there's sort of a strategy vacuum in a lot of associations, a lot of organizations. And
what is it? I can't even remember our own research now, but we've asked, for example, and we're doing this again right now, we've asked organizations about their use of learning and technology together, so technology to enhance and deliver learning. And one of the questions we ask as part of that survey is, do you actually have some sort of formal documented strategy? And, you know, you can say it doesn't have to be formal and documented to have a strategy, fair enough, but usually if you've got one, it's going to be written down in at least some form somewhere. And I think it's in the 20% range, less than 30% definitely, that say that they actually have some sort of written strategy for how they're going to use technology as part of their learning business at this point. And that's far too low. I mean, you can't have success if that's the degree of strategic thinking that's going on.
That's right. And so I think that there's a vacuum around strategy in general in a lot of associations, but then right, once you even begin sort of peeling back the layers, I mean, you know, having a strategy specifically around, you know, your education, then that the numbers get even lower and mm-hmm. lower. So, you know, it's about thinking specifically about education as a business, making sure that you have a strategy that's thinking about the reach, revenue, and impact and how you deal with those, all of those things.
And I think, you know, you'll probably hear us harp again and again in this podcast and in other places where we communicate on differentiation and innovation as components of strategy. And if you go back to somebody like Michael Porter, who's kind of the, you know, the grandfather or the godfather of strategy, depending on how you want to think about it. I mean, he basically said, you know, you either compete on price or you compete by differentiating. And a lot of organizations still try too much to compete on price, which, you know, in markets these days with the competition that's out there, you don't want to get in that game. If you're constantly cutting price or trying to just stay with the competition on price, you're never going to get ahead. So you really have to be thinking about how you differentiate. In our most recent newsletter, I, you know, highlighted a resource from the Blue Ocean Strategy people. And, you know, we don't subscribe to any specific methodology around strategy, but certainly that sort of blue ocean thinking, figuring out how you can carve out space that really puts you outside the competition to a large degree. And particularly for trade and professional associations, you know, a lot of times one of the biggest assets they have is their brand and the loyalty and what they've been able to do with membership over time. And really effectively leveraging that as a differentiation mechanism is something we'll look at, you know, more and more as we go along. But I find a lot of times organizations just aren't capitalizing on that enough as part of their strategy.
So if we look at the next thread, learning, one thing that's very important to us is making sure that organizations really know what constitutes effective learning. I think there's a lot of sort of legacy approaches to training or to learning that often are just, it's what we experienced as learners. So you sort of assume, oh, this is the way to be done.
And there's a lot of misinformation out there. I mean, there's still people spouting off about how important learning styles are when there's, I don't even know how much research and has been so much research for years about how it just does not matter in the context of actually delivering education. But you hear it. I mean, I've come across something practically every day, I feel like.
Right. And so it's, we now have, years of research. We now have, you know, brain science and, you know, brain imaging and things that are teaching us more about how people learn, and we're getting more and more data about it. So the main thing is to make sure that people understand what does constitute effective learning, that they understand, andragogy and how adults learn, and that we need to be doing things like engaging them actively, that learning needs to be effortful. You know, that they're actually, it shouldn't necessarily be an entirely pleasant experience.
Right.
And that we need to be doing things like looking at sustaining learning, because we, you know, you see those graphs of, you know, here's what people learn, and then 2 days later, here's what people remember at that point. And so what are we doing to make sure that we're taking information and moving it from that short-term memory to the long-term memory? What are we doing around things to help with retention? There are other things like the enter leaving, like to better mimic real world situations where, you know, rather than studying one specific topical area, you know, from beginning to end, then moving on to a second topical area, that it can be much more effective. It is much more effective to enter, leave those things.
Yeah, and we've been, you know, big, I know, on concepts like, interleaving for one. I mean, one of the things we're striving for with the symposium, with the Leading Learning Symposium, is to mix together, well, I mean, these different threads that we're talking about, we're trying to weave them in the symposium. So we're not going to have a strategy track and a learning track and a marketing track and a technology track, which is something you find, you know, at a lot of conferences. I think most conferences, you get these, you know, long list of concurrent sessions that aren't necessarily connected together at all, put into tracks, kind of siloed, you know, so you have people from one part of the organization going through one part of the event and people from another part of the organization going through another part of the event. We need to stop that kind of madness. And then, like you said, in terms of sustaining learning, you know, events are great, and we're obviously, you know, going to be holding some events. We have held events ourselves, but when you go to an event, you know, it's a, whether it's an hour or it's 2 days, it's kind of a one-shot deal, and there's just so much that you're going to be able to absorb and retain from any one learning event. So, you know, with the symposium, we're trying to make sure we really kind of scaffold some pre-content up to the event itself. We're going to have post content. We're going to be forming a whole community around it. And, you know, we were as part of strategy, as part of how you think about your products and your services, you know, we're hoping to see more and more organizations take those sorts of learning principles into mind as they are designing these high impact products that they're going to be putting out to their market.
And so the third thread, marketing, you know, we talked about marketing a little bit when we were talking about reach earlier, but again, marketing is often an area where it seems like organizations have a lot of opportunity to grow and to improve what they're doing there.
Yeah, absolutely. I referenced when we were talking about strategy, I referenced the marketing video I did this morning, and I think so many organizations, so many individuals, so many businesses, large and small, equate marketing with advertising or equate marketing with production. But marketing begins fundamentally in your strategy, which then, you know, parlays into your product strategy, what value you're going to deliver, how you're going to demonstrate that value out to that audience that you've managed to define out of your larger potential market. And when you start thinking about marketing that way, you know, you're on the path to being much more effective with it. B, that for us is where marketing and learning start to blur as well, because a lot of times your most effective marketing is going to be
some of your learning content.
Some of your learning content. It's going to be educational. So that's, you know, we want to see a lot more with a blend between content marketing as it blurs over into actual educational products and services.
And a lot of organizations have really great marketing materials that they could draw on if they would just stop and think of them that way. You know, anytime you have a self-paced online class, you know, you can pull out snippets of that and use them to show some of the value that you can deliver as an organization to entice folks to then say, okay, yeah, this is right for me. I can.
Yep. Yeah, it's a scary proposition, but a lot of organizations need to be giving much more away for free than they currently are, so they can establish the value. We talk about the concept of the value ramp. Anybody who's been, you know, listening to us for a while knows that we believe you build value in sort of the lower end of a ramp with things like, you know, white papers and blog posts and videos and webinars, and you build some momentum and move people up into your bigger offerings, like your conferences, like your seminars, like, you know, perhaps, you know, customized, more consultative type training at the very, you know, high end of your ramp. So, you know, blending together marketing with your overall strategy, thinking about how you're delivering more and more learning value along your value ramp. I'm trying to make a big effort here to weave these things together, since we're talking about these as threads, and they do weave together. I mean, when you start pulling at those threads, it's amazing how connected they are.
And so then the fourth thread is technology, and technology absolutely speaks to the other threads. I mean, you know, like learning today, you have technology that can support effective learning. You can now automate ways to do retention-based learning. You can, you know, either the different apps. I know I've used some for foreign language study, mm-hmm. where you get a little question every day or two, because we know that, you know, a little bit more frequently is more effective than, you know, the 2-day session that you never hear any more about. Technology obviously also supports marketing very heavily these days. And then technology needs to be taken into account when you're developing a strategy, making sure that you're thinking about all the tools and opportunities that you have available to you to deliver to your market, to your audience.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, what technology has made possible? I mean, really, that's a foundational reason to why we're even here talking right now, is because technology has been such a catalyst for change. Just what's possible now in terms of getting into the world of being a lifelong learning provider. Certainly, it's impacted online. It's so easy for, you know, anybody to create and deliver content online. But even offline, I mean, just the amount of integration of technology into live place-based events and, you know, everything that goes on within the entire context of an organization's business, the technology and ultimately the data that helps to pull all those things together. That's going to drive a huge amount of strategic decision making going forward. It's going to drive, you know, the personalization that will happen in learning, the personalization that will happen in marketing messages. So, you know, technology really it binds together all of these other elements.
Right now, with the proliferation of personal technology, I mean, the mm-hmm. whole idea of just-in-time learning becomes much more real, more possible to attain if people are, you know, walking around with a smartphone, you know, on them.
And listening to the Leading Learning podcast as a, you know, as you are right now, you are engaged in technology-driven mobile micro-learning. So congratulations. I think, and you'd mentioned as we started talking about these threads too, that we view these in an overall context of leadership. And, you know, obviously we've called this podcast the Leading Learning Podcast. We have a whole Leading Learning brand that we've developed, and the learning part obviously is core to the business that we're talking about and to, you know, our mission in life, which is helping people learn. But the leading is there too. This is a time where I think individuals and organizations do have to step up and perhaps lead in a way, and perhaps, you know, a bit more aggressively than they have before, to really help bring their learners along, their members along, their employees along, their boards along. You know, it's a changing context, and change always requires leadership.
And if you are a leader or an aspiring leader, if you like the kinds of ideas that we've been discussing today, we'd really encourage you to take a look at the Leading Learning Symposium. That URL again is leadinglearning.tagoras.com. We're really excited about the symposium. We think it's going to be a great event. We're paying attention, very close attention, to how we design it. We're really excited about the faculty like Seth and Wes who are going to be there with us. We're really excited about the learners coming together for it.
And that was a beautiful segue. I didn't even quite realize I was feeding you that layup, you know, quite so well. But you took that in for a slam dunk and made it emphatic. Leading Learning Symposium. Definitely come and join us for that. And please come back and join us for the next episode of the Leading Learning Podcast. I mentioned earlier that we're thinking that Cheryl Ronk, who is the CEO of the Michigan Society of Association Executives, will be the next episode. And I'll go ahead and stick my neck out, be a leader, and say she will be the next episode. We had a great conversation with Cheryl. She's thinking ahead of the curve. She realizes the leadership imperative that's out there. She's done a great job of listening to her members. The whole organization really is done a great job of listening to the members. And she talks about in the interview about how it really is the members at MSA serves that have driven the change that they've seen in the organization, the incredible focus on learning that is now central to everything they do as an organization. So I really encourage you to dial back in for the next episode of Leading Learning to hear what Cheryl Ronk has to say. And in the meantime, I guess we can now officially sign off from our inaugural episode of the Leading Learning Podcast. So this is Jeff Cobb signing off.
This is Salisa Steele signing off.
Hold on. Wait. We forgot about something very important to wrap up this initial podcast.
To get show notes for this episode, go to leadinglearning.com/episode1. That's episode, the word, followed by the numeral 1. And while you're there, you will also see options for subscribing to the podcast. So if you're getting value out of the podcast, we would be truly grateful if you would subscribe. We'd also be grateful if you would take just a minute to give us a rating on iTunes. You can go to leadinglearning.com/iTunes to do that, and we'd really appreciate it. It really does make a world of difference in making sure that others can find the podcast.
And finally, consider telling others about the podcast. You can send out a tweet automagically just by going to www.leadinglearning.com/share. Or if tweeting isn't your thing, just pick another social network of your preference and spread the good word.
Thanks again, and see you next time on the Leading Learning Podcast.